Welcome to The Beauty of Conflict, a podcast about how to deal with conflict at work, at home, and everywhere else in your life. I'm Chris Marie.
And I'm Susan.
We run a company called Thrive, Inc., and we specialize in conflict resolution, stress management coaching, and building strong, thriving teams and relationships, both in person and virtually.
We are starting 2021 with a series based on our book, The Beauty of Conflict, for teams. We'll be sharing tips, tools about how to make your team work more effectively, especially in this remote and virtual environment. We hope you'll walk away from this episode and the series with some fresh ideas that change your day, your week, and even your life. Hi, I'm Susan.
And I'm Chris Marie.
And today we're continuing our Beauty of Conflict for Teams podcast series, which is basically covering different aspects of our book, The Beauty of Conflict for Harnessing Your Team's Competitive Advantage.
Yeah, we're covering different chapters for you to, you know, get a little snippet. So hopefully you'll buy the book. It's available on Amazon.
So this week we are going to be coming from chapter 24, which is
get everyone rowing in the same direction.
And let's face it, the expert on that happens to be Chris Marie from her rowing day. So she's going to kick our podcast off today. So.
Well, for those of you that don't know me, I was a rower at the University of Washington, and then I went on to the national team and eventually the 88 Olympic team for the United States. And one of the things in my training, I wasn't an athlete growing up, so all this sports stuff was new for me. And when I got on the team and got to the varsity level, the coach would, every Friday, put our names in a hat, draw out random lineups, and we'd race. He called them ham and eggers. And it was always, you know, stressful because you're trying to figure out what's happening. Well, one year, I won like 15 out of 18. And it wasn't, you know, I don't know if that's because I'm like awesome rower. I was good, but I was in the stroke position, which is the leadership position. But one thing that I did before we got on the water is I'd pull this new collection of people. These were, you know, we had 30 people on the team. So I'd pull these eight people together, nine, including me and the coxswain, and say, hey, I know it doesn't look like we can win as we looked over to this boat stacked with varsity rowers. But if we pull together, if we believe we can win, we will. And I want you to hold on to that belief, even if we're down in the race, and keep pulling because we can create magic. And we did. And I think that focus on helping people, one, connect at the beginning of the race, because here we were put in this random lineup, and having that belief and desire and against the odds really helped.
So I love the story of the ham and eggers, and I do think, you know, yes, you are extraordinary, but probably you were also one of the things you did exceptionally well is pulling people together. Yeah. But I thought one of the things when we were getting ready and talking about today's podcast that was interesting was you were looking at it through even a different lens than maybe you had before, which the one thing that you knew for sure was that there was a way in which Bob was trying to figure out who could make boats move faster. Like that was get in the boat and row as fast as you can. And most people, that was kind of what they did. They got in the boat and did the work. Whereas, you know, you were talking today or when we were prepping for this about how, you know, really he was probably looking for and developing flexibility so that people didn't just get used to rowing with the same people.
Yeah.
But were able to adjust and make that switch.
Yeah. Looking for flexibility and changing circumstances. How can I make this collection of people, not just focusing on, am I winning the race, but how are we going to work together to win this race?
Yeah. And that really does address and talk about what we believe is so critical in this idea of rowing together, that you have to have both a...
You mean getting everyone rowing in the same direction?
That,
chapter 24?
Well, you know, I think rowing together is pretty close. But yes, everyone rowing in the same direction. And that a big part of what gets in the way of that has to do with the way that different people look at things.
Yes.
And like some people...
Well, just even like I think about just even getting in that boat and focusing, I'm just going to work hard. I'm just going to do my part. Is so much like people in business who think, no, we're going to succeed. If I just focus on my area and do my part, then everything should work out right.
And a lot of times when that focus is happening like that, you may actually miss the impact it's having on other team members or something that's outside of that narrow lens of focus.
It's true. You know? Like that narrow, I'm focused on me, my team, my success, you know, in business. Really can miss so many different things. So this chapter is really about noticing and being aware of a wide focus, a more strategic, a bigger picture focus, and also the narrow focus. Both are important. I think what we find when we're working with CEOs and teams is, especially if the leader has a propensity to just focus on one or the other,
it can be problematic.
Bad things happen.
Yes.
And we keep trying to tell them, hey, this isn't working for you.
And it doesn't mean you have to be good at both, but you need to know which one you're good at and which one you're not so good at.
Yes.
So that you can create and have the team around you that's going to help you when you need to go differently. Like we each have very different styles.
Yes, I would agree.
Mine tends to be more big picture, looking further out, maybe not paying as much attention to the details, strategic. And this happens. How are we going to get this stuff done now? We need this now.
So, Susan, I do think you have a great strategic mind. You are always thinking so creative and you tie so many different dots together. And it's a big thrust of why we keep creating the things that we do. And yes, sometimes you're not so good on the details. And I can get very focused on the details and miss the bigger picture. But I am definitely, how are we going to get that done? You, those of you not watching the video, I'm slapping my hands together because it's like, come on, what do we need to do? And so I'm a finisher and a follow through person. And the combination of us really helps.
Although I want to make a point of saying, obviously, you have both. Because in that Ham and Agar story, you were actually discussing how you were the one who actually thought of, hey, it's not just about me getting in that boat and making it go faster. It's actually about getting this whole group together. So you did have a wide focus there. And it, you know, often if I can get you out of some driven tastic, you can also go to a wide focus.
Oh, I think I have much more flexibility. I think you have a big strategic mind. I have a strategic mind and I like to see things actually happen.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that I'm quite driven by.
So, I mean, and the way we see this show up, we've worked with CEOs who are much more like they're great at firefighting.
Oh my gosh.
As a matter of fact, that's actually kind of their companies usually are demonstrations of that. They're often putting out fires.
Well, they stay in this firefighting cycle because they're very tactical. They think they need to be involved in everything. They don't have time to deal with this other stuff, whether it's leadership development or bigger picture thinking, all that stuff, because no, this is so urgent. And what winds up happening is they are in meetings like all day long, sometimes on weekends, and they think that's normal and they reward people who are like them. So they keep getting more and more tactical people, which is not really very helpful at all because you really miss windows of opportunity to do the business better.
Now, we have worked with some companies where we've been with the leaders of those companies going through some highs and lows. So it doesn't always, firefighting doesn't always take
off
the fire. Sometimes a good burn in the woods is a good thing. It brings growth. But the problem is firefighting all the time, you're going to have these cycles. And I was thinking of one situation where we were working with someone who their company really has had some amazing performance.
But we're
often trying to remind them to look at also the pattern because they also seem to have pretty regular times where the same thing keeps happening.
I think when they get stuck in the, we're really succeeding, they think this is all there will ever be. And when we're struggling for cash flow because they've invested too much in the good times, they're like, oh my gosh, we're not going to survive. And it's actually looking at, okay, how did you create that success? And what are the factors that created this dip? And stepping back and looking at those patterns, which is what we do when we do a quarterly offsite or an annual offsite, we're helping them connect those dots of those successes and failures so they can repeat the successes but mitigate the failures.
Because with this particular company, there's also seasonal issues that regularly dictate, even though you can't really predict that there's going to be a certain level of maintenance issues or a certain level of production issues, we've been with them long enough to know there are patterns. Mm-hmm. And so that's where a strategic focus would be really helpful. Like, can you know that maybe it's not going to be the same thing, obviously, but there's going to be things like that that are going to happen.
And looking at the financial patterns, have you created too much debt that when you're in a good time, that's not a problem? But in leaner times, all of a sudden, now you're surviving just trying to feed the debt.
And we've also seen situations and worked with companies where someone has a much bigger focus all the time. Like, you know, and what we mean by that is it may be they are really interested in selling the company. And this can happen with a startup.
We've had actually three different companies that we've worked with where this seemed to be the drive for the executive team. And it's not that it's bad. Of course, you want to sell your company or IPO it or have the next big research and development thing. But it's like at the cost of these other 5,000 people that are following you or the rest of the business.
Or what may also be, especially thinking of that research development one where it's like, yes, that next big opportunity is out there. But you also have these things that have gotten you to where you are now that if you don't pay attention, and there are actually people in your organization that are important to nurture and bring along.
Yeah.
You know, and so again, what we're suggesting is you really want some of both. And these different styles can actually be really at odds with each other, unless there's someone who can help build that team trust and goodwill so that people know, hey, you know, even though your style is very different than mine, it's helpful.
We're talking about the polarization when somebody gets stuck in that narrow tactical focus or somebody gets stuck in that strategic next best thing. And we're saying, hey, you have to balance both. And so what we have found really works well is setting up meetings that have different focus areas, like having a weekly narrow focus or tactical meeting where you are talking about the blocking and tackling, moving forward on your goals. This is what I need from you right now. How are we going to get this done by the end of the week? That's a very narrow tactical focus and important to have on your team.
We also think having that strategic opportunity, at least on a monthly basis, and for a team that has a lot of strategic, that's their energy source, you may need to, you know, have it a little more frequently. Or for if you've never looked at it, you're going to need to put it in there more frequently because you have some issues that need to be brought up.
I agree, Susan, just on that point, because so often when we were working with a team, they are so focused on the blocking and tackling, they haven't taken the time for those strategic meetings. So they kind of are in a deficit. So they have to have more to start out.
Yes. And it's, I think about us and I think, oh yeah, fine. I could have a tactical meeting every, but I need to have some juicy strategic stuff to talk about, or I kind of get lost in my week sometimes.
So, I think that's true, Susan. So, I think if you're not inspired, because I think the strategic stuff can inspire people. It's oh, what are we going to do? Who are we going to become? Whatever it's accomplished. And that juice feeds the rest of the business.
Yeah. I think I coach with, and it's like one of the things I can tell the difference, because the coaching clients that are strategic, they really like to use me as a sounding board because they don't get enough of that usually.
Yes.
And they're just blocking and solving problems in their workspace. And so they want that rich opportunity. And then they're the ones who are like, I never have any strategic time on my calendar. And it's like, I can almost count on the fact where I'm guessing you're always solving problems.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just very different. And I know from my own experience, I need to have both on a fairly regular basis.
But that's, I think, just a good, if think about you, listener, like what really creates the juice for you? Is it getting things done? Or are you actually missing, especially in this virtual environment, are you having enough time where your team is stepping back? What we mean by strategic or wide focus is you take one or two topics and you usually have some pre-work, you deep dive, you really get into the conversation so that you pop out with a solution or kind of a direction. Versus, you know, tactical is like, this is a problem, we're solving that. It's quick and short term, but that strategic is one or two topics that you can really sink your teeth in. And that is really satisfying for teams usually.
I don't know. I may be taking us off on another branch.
Okay,
but
Susan, you know, what are you doing,
because
Susan?
It was bringing up this whole thing that's come up, especially during, you know, the pandemic and over the last year, and how, you know, if I kept trying to solve the problem, there was no way to solve the problem.
Right.
So what was most useful to me was, how can I be of service? And I actually think of those two is somewhat the difference between problem focus means you've narrowed in on a particular problem.
Narrow
focus. When you're thinking service, you usually are looking wider. Who am I serving? How am I serving? What am I serving? And that's another lens for the same dynamic and a good one that I know we found helpful to talk about, because, you know, if you're just trying to, well, how are we going to have clients
and make COVID?
You know, or figure out how we're going to make money or keep our business going in a time when we can't even go out of the house. But if we change it to, okay, think bigger picture, you know, at some point, something will shift. How can we be in service of what we do now? Or mm-hmm. yeah. So,
and I think that that being of service, that's that engagement, and it's that heart space, which a lot of times those strategic projects, those that wider view, you really do want to engage the hearts and souls of people, not just how can I solve this problem with my mind.
I was fascinated, you know, and I don't know how this is going to pan out, but, you know, we're in the midst of this COVID crisis and trying to get the vaccines out. And what I found, Chris Marie, this morning, I was looking at an article, and I guess Biden has now gotten these two big companies, Johnson & Johnson and Merck. They're going to work together. They are competing companies to produce this vaccine. Now, I think that is really phenomenal. And I think companies are trying to really pulled together to make this happen. And I did read in it that one of the companies wasn't responding to the questions about it. So I don't know how it's really going to go.
Let's hope. Fingers crossed.
But here's the situation where usually there's this competition.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, we really need to collaborate for this bigger purpose, this wider service purpose. And if you get narrowed in on, but how's this serve
what about
business,
me? Yeah.
It's that kind of like the ham and eggers. You might miss the chance to really take the entire boat across the line. So, you know, I think there's so many ways in which this applies, and yet both are what we inherently do.
Yeah.
And we have an opportunity to go, you know, how can we expand?
And I love that. So the way you can build these rhythms in, because we tend to have gaps, is that weekly tactical, that monthly strategic. And as Susan was saying, hey, you probably have a deficit, so you might have to have ad hoc strategic meetings to talk about key topics all the way down till you get to a plan of action. And those are like 2 to 4 hours in length conversation. It's a little bit different online, maybe 1 to 3 hours. And then the quarterly offsite is really where you start to go more wide, because you're looking at quarterly, how did we do? What worked? What didn't? What are we going to do this quarter? What's important for our long term? And it's really taking more time to step back. How are our people doing? It's taking a much bigger view of the business. And also on an annual basis, what do we want to do next year? What are our main 4 quarters, like the general gist of what we're going to do? And our people, and how are we financially? It's looking at all those levels. And how are we getting along as a team?
It could also be in that idea of looking back and seeing, you know, yes, our things look different, but are there patterns?
Yes.
And that's a big thing sometimes to look at, that we, you know, may get missed.
Yeah.
Because things start moving quickly and you don't have the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if nothing else, this year has taught us that sometimes you have lots of opportunity to look at things, and then things start moving again. And it's like, okay, let's
now what are we going to do?
How do we keep at a pace that makes sense?
Right.
You know, and takes care of both the narrow and the wide.
And one of the tools that we use with our clients, well, one, we help them with their meeting rhythm, which really helps kind of make sure these focus areas are taken care of. But also this idea about having a collective goal. This is kind of back to the ham and egger. If I'm just worried about me, my area, I'm in a boat. I have to care about these other people. We're rowing together. But so often in business, and especially in a virtual environment, it's really easy to go, you know what? I'm just going to get my work done. As long as my team's looking good, then we're good. And that's really minimizing the impact of the job that you can do. So we talk about this idea about having the team that you're a member of, that having a collective goal so that it has a top line, kind of like a strategic and inspirational oomph. And then it's got buckets of activity that need to be done. Those are kind of the objectives. And then it's got metrics below that. So you don't want to increase sales by 20%. Not so inspirational.
Well, some of you up at
maybe it would be.
Let's just say from a collective perspective, that's a little too specific.
But of like what we did in COVID is how can we be of service during this lockdown? And then we had different ways that we did that. Podcast or videos, reaching out to clients, offering coaching. I think we had in a month, we had 100 different coaching sessions because we coached people for their stress. So we started talking about stress and giving tools for it. So those were the ways that really aligned us in a time period that could have been just like miserable, but we found some strategic oomph. Wouldn't you say, Susan?
I would say so. And as a result of that, now we're in a different, you know, it's a year later, and we're looking back and we're seeing what were the highlights of that, and what, if anything, is do we want to keep continuing? Mm-hmm. And we encourage businesses and teams to do that. And
to stop and say what worked, what didn't, and what do we want to do differently? What do we want to continue or reinforce?
Mm-hmm.
That stepping back is so powerful to do on at least on a quarterly basis to really get clear and reinforce the behaviors that you want and the direction that you want.
So I hope this has been helpful. It's been fun to kind of talk about and think about it from a number of different lenses. And remembering that you too can row together, even though I know I'm going to get the corrected line now.
You can get people rowing in the same direction. And that's just so critical in business. And it's even critical in your families. Think about, do you actually take time to have deeper conversations with your spouse, with your kids? Maybe you have because you've been locked in the same place, or maybe you've been trying to get away from each other. But talking about those things, having those things that spark your heart or really connect are very powerful.
I think probably now more than ever, it's important. Like I think for a while there during this period of COVID, you know, people were just, I just have to survive day to day. And what puzzle can I do now? And how can we
I'm
keep?
I'm still doing that.
Yeah. Well, but, and now, you know, it's like, okay, maybe what could I get excited about longer term that means something to me, that gives me some meaning and purpose right now, because we could talk about it. We could, you know, I don't know whether we're going to do it or not yet, or we could do it, but it's kind of fun to start planning bigger picture.
Yeah. You know, so. And so just notice in yourself, what is missing? Do you spend more time in the big picture and don't actually take care and follow through and get things done? Or are you more of like, I'm going to get everything done? And you miss kind of the juice that can come from bigger picture inspirational thinking. Both are important. And we encourage you, if you're on a team, make sure you speak up and ask for what you need. Like, hey, I think we need to have a strategic meeting because this is a big topic. Because so often you're trying to solve those strategic topics on a weekly tactical when you've got like 6 minutes, you know, it's like, now we're going to talk about something else. You know, you don't have the time to really deep dive. So be sure to get the narrow and wide focus balance on your team. And if you were interested in what we had to say, you can check out The Beauty of Conflict, Harnessing Your Team's Competitive Advantage on Amazon. And certainly reach out to us if you would like us to work with you or your team.
Take care. Wow, Krishnamurti, I have sure been enjoying doing this series for teams and utilizing our chapters from our book, The Beauty of Conflict, Harnessing Your Team's Competitive Advantage. It's been fun to go back and review the material and apply it to virtual teams.
It's true. And it's so much good bite-sized material in these chapters. I mean, if I do say so myself. And if you want us to speak at your organization or work with your team, yes, virtually, we've been doing that, team sessions, or coach you or leaders on your team, please reach out to us. You can check us out at our website, www.thriveinc.com. That's thriveinc.com. Or send us an email. Write us directly. We're happy to chat. thrive@thriveinc.com. That's thrive@thriveinc.com. Okay. Take care.